Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
All right. Welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. And we could talk a lot about gardening this morning, but if I don't talk about this, it's kind of a moot point, isn't it? If I don't talk about how hot it is, because a lot of you are going to say, you know, it's too hot. I don't really care about gardening. I'm not going to do any gardening today. I'm going to zip myself up in the spacesuit here. I'm not going outside. I'm going to pretend like I live on Mars. I'm not going to have any contact with anything around me. It's just too hot. Hey, let's talk about this heat thing. Because, you know, it's a shame. It is a shame that we have these periods in summer when we just don't go outside. And let's talk about what that means. And what, you know, I have friends and I have acquaintances who have actually, I had a gardening friend who was a cousin, actually, who told me that she moved to, she's a good garden writer, but she was kind of famous for being from Alabama, grew up in Mobile, and said, you know, she kept moving north. And she said, I just don't even do summer gardening anymore. All I do is winter gardening. And she kept moving north and north and north because she couldn't take the summer. Well, that would be that's one solution. That is one solution. You move a little farther north than you originally intended because the climate is getting a little warmer all over. And this heat spell that we're having is actually a little worse. The temperatures are going to be even higher as you move farther north. It's going to be a bad, bad heat spell coming up. In the Virginias, up into Kentucky and Indiana, so don't feel alone. It's just hot, and so what are we going to do about it? You know, I would hate to say, oh gosh, I can't enjoy the smell of the Gulf. I had the windows open the other day, driving along the causeway, and just smelling that Gulf air, and smelling the smell of the Gulf, smelling Mobile Bay. The Delta in the morning is just the greatest smell in the world. I would hate to be zipped up in my spacesuit or have to move north and miss the smell of that just because it was hot. So what are we going to do about this thing being hot? How do we adapt to being hot? How do we make it easier to be out in the garden? I was out in the garden yesterday all day, and it was hot. There's no question. It was no question. But, you know, I enjoyed it. I wouldn't have traded it for anything in the world. But so how do we do it? You know, conventionally, and let's talk about some things. Conventionally, people say, you know, I got to cool down. I'm going to have a cold, cold glass of tea. I'm going to turn up the air conditioning or turn down the air conditioning, whichever way you want to look at it, so that it is cold, cold, cold. I'm going to put myself in the freezer. Here's the problem with that. It means that you're going to lose any ability to adapt to the heat. You, after being in the warm weather, after being in the heat for an afternoon, if you can erase your body's ability to adapt to that, the next day, your body should be better able to deal with that heat. And the next day, a little better, and a little better the next day. Your body adapts. That's what it's supposed to do. But when we do these really painful switches from really hot to really cold, so here's the interesting thing. In the old days, when people said, what do you do about cooling down on a hot day when your body's overheated? The old recipe was not to go take a cold, cold shower, which I suppose was possible. The recipe was to take a lukewarm shower. And your body recovered better. And in fact, that's what a lot of doctors prescribe. It makes you better able to deal with the heat. Again, it doesn't turn off your body's ability to respond to heat. You know, one of the interesting things, getting that cold, cold glass of water, a cold, cold glass of tea with lots of ice. It's a natural thing. It's something you want to do. But you know what? You get a little headache. You notice that little headache? It's your body saying, it's, you know, there are many reasons why that happens, but it's your body saying, hey, wait a minute. I was getting used to the heat, and now you want to do all this cold stuff. Oh, your body is having a hard time going from one thing to another. It's an interesting thing. I would recommend that if you're out in the garden and you're getting hot and you know you're going to have to go back out, don't drink the really cold, icy water. Drink water that's cool, just a little cool. That's the way we used to do it. Water cool from the well, but not icy cold, just cool. It really is much better for your body. It cools your body. Your body is able to adapt to the heat. It adjusts to the heat much better, and you don't get that terrible headache. Yeah, just a thought. You know, just don't overdo that transition from hot to cold. There's one way. You know, there's some other ways that that people used to keep cool that we don't think about anymore. It's getting elevated. Getting elevated. I was thinking about this the other day. If you remember the old sleeping porches? Remember where sleeping porches were in the old days? The best sleeping porches were always the sleeping porches that were on the second floor. Because once you got above the ground and above the shrubbery and above the other things, you got into the breezes. You were able to take advantage of those breezes really nicely. Getting elevated helps a lot. You know, one of the things that I do, and there are a lot of ways of doing that, Oakley Mansion is a great example. People used to say to me, why are the houses in the South so elevated? I guess they're worried about flooding. Well, Oakley Mansion, sitting up on that top of that hill, in the middle of Mobile, it's a hill that's higher than almost anything else around it. They wasn't worried about being flooded. Why was the main living quarters on the second floor? Well, because in the old days, people recognized that elevating the living quarters put you in contact with the breezes, and you got above the shrubbery and the other things around your house. One of the things is sometimes at ground level around our houses, because of all the other houses around us, and sometimes the shrubs and the low trees and other things, we end up blocking the breezes and creating humid areas that are difficult to deal with. Get elevated. If you've got if you're building a house, build an elevated porch, not one at ground level. It makes a lot of difference in how much breezes you get. It can be a big deal. One of the things I do is when I really need a breeze is I travel a few blocks over to Magnolia Cemetery and find the highest spot in the cemetery, right underneath a live oak where the breezes come from all the way around. There's nothing but gravestones to block the breezes. Really nice, comfortable place to be. Figuring out how to deal with the heat. Kind of an interesting problem, isn't it, here in the South? Let's talk a little bit about how you're dealing with heat and some of your favorite recipes for dealing with the heat this time of year. And let's talk a little bit about your garden, too. What's going on? My garden is actually doing really well right now. It's kind of exciting. Some things aren't. The beans are beginning to slow down because of the heat, but boy, the eggplants are doing great. The okra is doing beautiful. I've got three kinds of peas that I'm excited about because they're fixing to start producing. The peppers are doing great. I'm actually thinking about planting more eggplants, and I'm thinking, what else can I plant? I've got this great Egyptian green that I'm going to plant. We'll talk a little bit about that this morning. And my hibiscus, the hibiscus leaves. Ooh, you should ask me about the hibiscus leaves. The hibiscus leaves are absolutely delicious. The cosmos are blooming up a storm right now. It's a great time to be in the garden. It's a great time to be out walking around. You know, use some time in the morning. Use some time in the afternoon to walk around in the garden. And if you understand your body and you play it right, you know, just feel free to jump into the garden full steam at 11 o'clock this morning. It'll be great, too. You might need to find some shade and drink plenty of water, but don't make it too cold. Just make it a little bit cool. Your body will learn to adjust. It's a great way to be in the garden. It's a great time to be in the garden. It's a great time to garden here in Mobile. Let's talk about your garden. Let's talk about what's going on there. Feel free to give us a call, 251-343-0106A. And if you've got some pictures, feel free to text us. You can text us text those pictures at that same number, 251-343-0106. We're here to help.
at the table, eating beans and making love as long as I am able. Hoeing corn and cotton too, and when the day is over, ride the mule and cut the fool and love again all over. Goodbye, don't you cry, I'm going to Louisiana. The Baccoon dog gonna pick that hog and marry Louisiana. Sing song, ding dong, I'll take a trip to China.
Awfully far.
Cornbread, butter beans, then back to North Carolina.
That's all right.
And cornbread, butter beans, then you cross the table, eating beans and making love as long as I am able.
My buddy Austin Key from Aero Exterminators back in studio. Summertime's here and the living's stingy and bitey. I think about my backyard. You got fire ants on the ground, you got mosquitoes in the air, and I need Aero.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Mobile is the area for definitely for fire ants, and mosquitoes is almost a year-round problem for us.
Oh, you got to tackle something that's, two different critters out there that are kind of ruining our backyards for us. How do you do that?
Well, we'll create a customized plan specifically for your needs, whether it be our fire ant program or a mosquito program that we can put in place for you.
Okay, so the fire ants take over somebody's backyard. Does Aero have a way to keep them at bay so I can get back out barefooted? Can you get rid of fire ants?
Yes, we can come out and we'll send an evaluator out to take a look at that property and figure out specific areas that we need to treat, and we can take care of the fire ants for you.
All right, so we're going after mosquitoes, we're going after fire ants. How do we get in touch with you?
You can reach us at 888-GO-AERO or aeroexterminators.com.
All right, Austin, so I am planning a family party around that information. Get rid of those fire ants, get rid of those mosquitoes.
Absolutely, we've got 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Now through June 30th, save big at Mike Ward's Liberty Safes with clearance pricing and instant in-store rebates on all Liberty Colonial, Fat Boy, and Franklin Round Bolt Safe models. Hurry in while supplies last. Plus, get 0% financing and 12 months to pay with approved credit. Remember, Mike Ward's Liberty Safes offers free delivery up to 50 miles and most of all, service after the sale. Mike Ward's Liberty Safes, located at Exit 5B, Moffitt and I-65 in Mobile. Just look for the giant yellow safe. 471-1137.
Traveling east through Mobile, you'll see a tunnel on I-10.
Call the Jack Green Insurance Agency if you want to save some money.
He'll get back in his car now.
I'm tired of getting stuck in this I-10 traffic. It happens every time we go across the bay this time of day, so I'm making the most of it.
What are you doing?
I'm handing out flyers for Jack Green.
Jack did not.
What better time to think about how much money you could be saving on your insurance by calling Jack Green?
Get away from that truck.
Sir?
You're going to get hurt.
Hey.
Now stop.
Did you know Jack Green can insure this dump truck?
Hey, lady, get off my windshield.
You could be paying too much.
What are you, crazy?
Hello?
Crazy lady. Jack Green has been saving the good folks of Alabama money for over 30 years on their homeowners, commercial, and business insurance. It just doesn't make good sense to pay too much. Jack Green saves you green. Call for a quote today, 251-344-5393.
Ask for Jack.
You know, a lot of advertisements for sales jobs are sugar-coated with all the money you could potentially make, or they're honey-dipped with opportunity. In reality, you make as much as you put into it. FM Talk 106.5 is looking for good people to be on the street representing us to local businesses while helping them with their local marketing. Experience is preferred, but we'll work with folks with a good attitude. This is Bill Roth, Director of Sales. Drop me an email to jobs@fmtalk1065.com today and we'll set up an appointment. That's jobs@fmtalk1065.com.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Here's another way to stay cool during summer. Eat cucumbers. I don't know what it is. Taxman, what do you think? Don't you think that's a great way to stay cool is eating cucumbers?
Absolutely. That's for sure. Man, that is the best. I was out yesterday buying some local produce here in Baldwin County.
Yes, sir.
I mean, fresh stuff. And read it to a friend. He said, Jim, I planted me a garden, little garden this year. He said, I listened to you on the Bill Finch show. He said, I got cucumbers everywhere. This is a city boy now.
Yeah.
Tell me. He said, and I got okra, eggplant, and my tomatoes. Man, it is wonderful. I said, you must have good dirt. He said, Jim, I went the whole time and got that good old mix, pine bark mix. Now, isn't that something, Bill?
Yeah. Yeah.
They always ask about the soil and the sunshine, you know?
Yeah.
But, boy, he said, I went down there and got it. I said, that's the only thing I use. But anyway, my point is this. His cucumbers, he'd been giving them to his neighbors, his relatives. You know, man, when he says something that's growing big and plenty of them, this city, he knows what he's talking about. But it all goes back to that good soil mix.
That's right. It makes a big difference. And, you know, it's pine bark is really about 70% of what you need in your mixes. And it's what most growers do around here, so...
Well, that's the only thing I use. I use for everything. But anyway, I want to give you that cucumber report, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm playing with cucumbers. I'm trying to find the best cucumbers for our climate. And I don't grow enough of them every year to do this quickly. But it's I found an interesting one this year. It's from southern Japan, where the climate is very much like ours. The same place we got Satsumas from. And it's done real well. So I'm going to report. I'm going to have to do a cucumber report.
That'd be good because my friend would like that. I'll actually call him and find out what he planted, okay?
Yeah, find out and see. You know, the question is, how long into the summer do they keep producing? Do they, you know, it's just a lot of interesting questions to ask. So ask about that. You need those cucumbers in July. You need them really bad. So you want a cucumber that's going to produce into late July, right?
That's right.
That's right. So we got to find the great cucumbers for our climate.
All right, sounds good, Bill.
Taxman, hey, it's good to hear from you always.
Hey, hang on a half a second. If he's got a bumper crop, it's fun to make pickles sometimes, too.
Yeah, well, they may be too big for pickles.
I don't know. Those little hamburger dills or something, they're easy to make.
Yeah. All right. So there it is. So interesting questions about what does well and what doesn't do so well here on the Gulf Coast at certain times of the year. You know, we always it's like tomatoes. Greg sent me some beautiful pictures of tomatoes that he's growing. And a lot of people have had a lot of success with the big tomatoes this year. I guess the stink bugs have not been too much of an issue for people so far. One of the reasons, and because somebody wrote me a little bit about this the other day and said, look, my heirloom tomato did okay. It's fine. And they often can. One of the reasons that I have given up on heirloom, the old big heirloom tomatoes, is they don't produce that well. So I have to really watch for worms and for stink bugs. And if I can get them before the worms and the stink bugs get to them, they're going to do okay if I plant them early enough. And if you're in a place like on a patio or other things that where you don't have many stink bugs flying around, you know, you're probably all right. You're probably going to do okay. But one of the reasons I went to smaller tomatoes is I love the flavor. And because I don't have to fret. I mean, if I've got a few worms, I don't even care. They don't make any difference to the plant. They get a few tomatoes, but that's it. The stink bugs, I don't care. Not a big deal. I still have plenty of tomatoes left over. That, by the way, is the story. Hey, Greg. Greg sent me a thought, and you know, Greg said when I was working in the coal mines, and Greg worked in the coal mines for a while. He said I would drink hot coffee in the summer in the coal mines because he said. And he said, because it displays my heat quicker than any cold drink. And here's the funny thing. I have a thermos in front of me. I rode my bike here this morning, which we'll talk about the bike here in just a minute. Rode my bike here this morning, and my bicycle, it's about, what, 5 miles from my house? Very pleasant. What did I do when I got here? I didn't look for cold. I'm actually drinking hot tea. It's not really, really hot. It's mildly hot, but it's perfect. It cools me down. There's something about it. And we kind of forget this. We've gotten so obsessed with getting this contrast of heat and cold that I think it makes it harder for us. And some people said, you know, you're riding your bicycle, man. God, you got to be really tough to ride a bicycle when it's this hot. And I kind of want them to believe that. I kind of enjoy that they believe that. But you know what? Here's the funny thing. If it's this hot and you could have, oh, say, a 10 to 15 mile per hour breeze blowing on you constantly, wouldn't you like that? And that's the truth on a bicycle. If you want to cool off, if you want to cool off and you're used to walking, don't walk, ride your bike. It's a really interesting thing because you get that nice cooling breeze when you're on your bicycle, just actually moving on the bicycle, yes indeed, for a very relatively low energy expenditure, you get this nice breeze. It's kind of, that's why I say bikes are air-conditioned. It's kind of a nice thing to do, is to ride your bike this time of year. Another way, interesting way of staying cool. I don't get hot when I ride my bike, except when I get off. Then you can feel really, really hot. So what's going on in your yard right now? What's happening in your garden? Let's talk a little bit about it this morning. Let's talk a little bit about how to get things going again. If you've been flummoxed by this heat, we'll talk about the kinds of plants that are doing really, really well right now and how they adapt to the heat. With things like cucumbers, we were talking about the cucumbers. Cucumbers are like tomatoes in that when it gets to a certain temperature, some varieties of cucumbers just sort of quit producing. They don't produce as well as they used. They don't produce as well as they do when the night temperatures are cooler. When these night temperatures are staying really, really hot, a lot of vegetables quit producing. And that's one of our dilemmas here along the Gulf Coast. If you're farther north, there will be periods where because the humidity is lower and you're farther away from the Gulf, there will be periods when those night temperatures drop into the 60s or into the very low 70s. At night. And when that happens, and it'll happen for several days at a time, the tomatoes kick in again, they start producing again, the cucumbers start producing again, the beans start producing again, because they need those cooler temperatures at night to set fruit. It's just one of the things that happens. We often don't get that for long periods of time in summer, so we lose a lot of our produce that people would grow up north. We lose that in midsummer. Tomatoes is a classic case, particularly the big tomatoes. They just can't set fruit when night temperatures stay very, very high. So if your tomatoes are starting to kind of taper off, that's why. Cucumbers can be the same way. So what do we do about that? And it's one of the things I've been thinking about for a long time. When I look for produce, I think about, where does this produce come from? Where do these plants come from? Where originally did they come from? And do they have a climate similar to ours? One of the exciting things is to think about what kind of plants are grown in southern China and southern Japan and in the humid parts of India during the warm summer months, because they have a climate very similar to ours. If I'm getting my eggplants and I'm getting them from Italy, you know what happens to those eggplants during midsummer? A lot of them just quit producing because they've been bred for the conditions in Italy where the nights are cooler, days may be warm or hot, but the nights are cool. And those are different types of eggplants than the eggplants I get from Southeast Asia, which do very well. Same with cucumbers. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Feel free to give us a call, 251-343-0106.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly sunny skies today with isolated afternoon thunderstorms. High temperatures will be in the lower 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-70s. And for Monday, mostly sunny with a few afternoon thunderstorms and high temperatures in the mid-90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
Radio. It's nothing new. It's been here all along, with free entertainment, news, sports, music, and information. It's not just part of life. It's part of who we are. You know which station is going to tell you the score of the game, which one's going to give you a laugh in the morning, which one is going to give you something to sing along with. You know where to turn when the weather gets rough. When something big happens, good or bad, you know where to go, because radio has been here all along. Radio is part of your community, woven into the fabric of what makes home, home. And now, radio has evolved to move with you with the next radio app and your FM-enabled phone. Just plug in your headphones to start experiencing radio in a whole new way while using way less battery and data than streaming apps. Check out the live guide to see and interact with live radio stations. Easily find your favorites like the one you're listening to right now. And as always, it's totally free. Download the Next Radio app today. Next Radio, live and local wherever you go.
This is Ronan McSherry from McSherry's Irish Pub and Restaurant in downtown Fairhope, where you can enjoy great food at a great price, meet your mates for a pint and a chat, or dance the night away with our DJ on Friday and Saturday nights starting at 10. Try our brilliant Blarney Burger, unforgettable Irish potato salad, homemade bread pudding, or it is said the best Reuben sandwich this side of the River Shannon. We open at 3 p.m. and close at 2 a.m. Non-smoking inside, but we have a lovely patio with big screen TVs where you can enjoy all sporting events. Every Sunday at 6 in the evening, we have a traditional Irish music session which attracts musicians from New Orleans to Seaside, Florida. Happy hour is 3 to 6 daily, so be sure to check out our website at www.mcsharries.com for specials. Come on down for a wee taste of Ireland at McSharries Irish Pub in Fairhope, Alabama. You can't miss us. We're the ones with the big leprechaun over the door. 101 North Bancroft Street on the Eastern Shore. 990-5100. McSharries Irish Pub.
Since the dawn of time, mankind has sought enlightenment, yearned to know if the earth was round, how fire worked, and why apples fell to the ground. The cave house and quill pen are gone, replaced by three-bedroom homes and cell phones, but we're still curious. That's why a great local newspaper is so important. Lagniappe Weekly is the Mobile area's newspaper, with the stories nobody has the guts or knowledge to report. Lagniappe gets to the bottom of things, providing top-notch journalism every great city deserves. No simple one-inch deep stories here, plus we're locally owned too. 30,000 papers, more than 1,200 distribution locations, and an increased circulation this year to reach even more readers in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Lagniappe, the paper that breaks the big stories with tough, thorough reporting, plus the area's best commentary, cuisine, arts, sports, and business coverage. Pick up your copy at grocery stores, businesses, drugstores, in our iconic hideous pink or regal purple boxes. In the mail for just $1 a week and online at lagniappemobile.com. Lagniappe, something extra for Mobile and Baldwin counties.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning, and it is a Gulf Coast summer Sunday morning. So it's a very interesting time here along the Gulf Coast. Feel free to give us send us in questions or give us a call. We enjoy talking to you, we send us pictures too, 251-343-0106. You can text us pictures if you've got questions about things in your yard. I have a question from somebody. We purchased a Leland cypress from a local nursery that they will plant this week. Should we have them stake it? Let me tell you something about Lelands, by the way. They are very short-lived trees. They are very subject to diseases. I might try another variety next time. We don't recommend Leland cypress for this climate. Lelands are actually a cross between an Alaskan cypress. Yes, I'm not kidding. And a California cypress. They just don't do well in our climate. They have really severe root problems, and they don't do well in hurricanes. So if you have a chance to try something else, I would try something else. Hope I haven't thrown a wrench in your gears. There's an interesting question about staking, though. Should trees be staked? No. In general, no, they shouldn't be. Trees actually... if you can avoid staking a tree, and there may be an appropriate way to do it, but if you can avoid staking a tree, you should, because trees actually, as wind moves those tops around, it actually helps the tree to root in. There's actually been some demonstrations that when trees are kept rigid, they don't root in as well; they have more problems. So, I don't recommend staking. If you have a tree that you're worried is going to loll around a bit, move back and forth too much because it's too whippy, and most trees aren't, but if you have a tree that you do think, then what you want to do to stake that tree is to take three posts, put them around the tree, about each post about 6 inches away from the trunk, right? See what I'm saying? And then take some string and tie it around those posts so that you allow the tree to move, but just not too much. Now, do you need to do that with every tree? No. But staking a tree rigid is kind of a – there's been a lot of work done, and the suggestion is it just is not a good thing at all. They stake trees in nurseries for a lot of crazy reasons, because it's a nursery and because they're in weird, crazy situations. They're growing those trees very fast. They're trying to put on a lot of top growth. It's not very firm. It's not very sturdy. In actuality, probably the best trees, and if you were to grow the best tree in a nursery, it would not be staked either. But it'll be okay. Everything will be fine as long as you don't stake it. There's a lot of concern. One of the things to remember is that trees are going to find the sunlight. They're going to start growing up as soon as they can. Some trees have a horizontal tendency when they're young to kind of grow out in weird higgledy-piggledy horizontal ways. Leland cypress is not one. But you know, don't worry about that. If you've got a satsuma, people often worry because they're satsumas, which are famous for putting on this weeping growth. And they say, oh, I got to train that to grow straight up. No, you don't. They're supposed to weep. they're going to do fine, and they're going to find the sunlight. They're going to put on plenty of growth that grows straight up. So just don't worry too much about that staking right now. It's usually not an issue. And I would say, you know, Leland cypress may not be the best thing. Chris Francis is sending me some messages, and Chris, you might call in if you get a chance, and let's just talk about that. Chris is saying hole the root ball and not the trunk, and that's a great way of looking at it. It's a great way of looking at it. What you want to do is you want to keep that root ball from lolling around. There are probably several ways of doing that, but yeah, Chris is saying stake the root ball, put it in the ground, and actually you would effectively do that if you put three stakes 6 inches from the trunk. But don't stake the top, and don't keep that top rigid. It creates lots of weird problems, and Chris could probably elaborate on some of the problems he's seen with trees that have been staked. And Chris, if you get a chance, I would love to hear your thoughts on Leland cypress, because I don't want to take the heat for that by myself. It's an interesting question, and got some great pictures here from the bayou over in Moss Point, and from the Escatawpa River from Greg. People are out enjoying the weather, enjoying the blooms right now. But boy, that looks like is that a hibiscus or is that? No, that's just an extra big. It's an extra big morning glory, wild morning glory. The wild morning glories of the Ipomopsis, the wild morning glories of the swamps and deltas, really interesting right now. And you know, so Chris, I'm fixing to bother Chris's Sunday morning. I hope I have it roused him from something more interesting. But we're gonna have a good time talking with Chris this morning. I got several questions to ask him. We had some folks asking about water oak trees as well. Hey Charlie, Chris is jumping in. Hey, how are you?
Hey, doing great. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what do you want to talk about? Leland cypress?
Yeah, where do we start? Talk to me about staking trees. Tell me what you've seen with staking trees.
So staking trees. What happens is, typically, people will stake too tight, and as a result of that, the tree can't move around.
Right.
And so, if you think about a tree, it's much fatter at the base and narrow at the top, and so it builds that taper. And so, how it builds that taper is through reaction wood.
Right.
So, tree's moving around the wind. You know, even in a light wind, it's moving around a little bit, and so the tree responds to that. You know, it says, "Okay, it's moving to the right. We're going to put some wood over here and kind of keep it from going too far. It's moving to the left." And it does that, you know, a little bit at a time. And so the tree builds that taper, which really gives it strength to be able to support itself as it's getting larger and really getting a beating. You know, you get a wind that comes in from a storm or maybe a hurricane right. or something. The tree that hasn't been staked, the tree that's been, you know, allowed to move around on its own, that tree is going to do great. The one that's had that crutch, well, it needs that crutch forever.
That's right.
It can't do it. And typically what will happen is it'll actually break beyond where that stake is, because at that point it's been able to move around, but it just hadn't. It's just been restricted. Main thing about staking is nobody remembers to take them off.
Right.
And so then the tree grows around it, you know, whatever it is, whether it's the old hose and wire or straps or whatever the newfangled system is, tree grows around it, eventually strangles itself around the wire or string or rope or whatever it is. That's really frustrating to see.
Yeah, so. that is bad. Well, you know, it's like my dad's been in the hospital. He's a strong guy, but you know, the interesting thing is because he's been in the hospital, he's been carried around in a wheelchair now for days. He's never gotten out of his bed. He loses his strength. He loses his muscle tone.
Sure.
And that's exactly what happens. I mean, it's exactly what happens to these trees, is that they don't develop the muscle tone that they need if they can't move around. It's like they're rigid. They don't develop that muscle tone, and so they're not very strong, and so they stay whippy. You know, the interesting thing, one of the things I remind when I tie up, if I feel like there's a need to keep a tree from wiggling too much, and there's been a couple of times when I was worried about a tree that was going to lean over into a sidewalk or something. Because the tops needed a little bit of, they were just getting whipped around too much. And that happens with some varieties of trees. One of the things I do is I use the three stake method around the tree and then tie a biodegradable string around it rather than the plastic strings, which, you know, can be a problem even if they're away from the trees. But one of the things you never want to do is leave those trees staked up with those little plastic ties, because you'll actually see the impression as that tree grows.
Well, and the ultimate goal of any guying would be to keep the tree from falling over.
That's right.
Not to hold the tree so tight that you could play tunes on the strings or or keeping it from moving at all. So anytime that occasionally we will have to guy a tree, you know, if we do a new install down on the bay or something where we've got a lot of wind, and so in that case, again, we're not like holding it up, we're not supporting it, we're just providing a strap or a guy wire to where if the wind was to come and blow very strong, then it's going to keep it from just absolutely blowing over. It'll allow it, you know, a little bit of time to be able to root in, and so that it can handle on its own.
Yeah, it's not a prop so much as a boundary. It just keeps
that's right.
The, that's right.
Yep.
Just keeps
yep.
it.
Yep. Yeah, there are props, you know, for systems, especially for mature trees. You imagine some of the big live oaks with the low limbs that are you know, coming down onto the ground, and there's some various reasons to install those. But yeah, you're exactly right. That would be something that keeps something from moving versus just the. Right. The guy is a boundary, just a limit.
So let's I'm interested because we've never fussed about Leland cypress before. So I don't even know what your thoughts are on Leland cypress. I have shared my opinion on them. What are you seeing with Leland cypress?
So a number of things, and so the one is they do not root very well. I don't want to be careful to say that they don't root deep. That's not ultimately the issue, but so whenever we get high wind events, which we haven't had in a little while, we see a lot of Leyland cypresses come over, and so that's part of the problem, is that you know, we see a lot of whole tree failures, you know, coming over, which is unusual for a pyramidal shaped tree. Typically, that pyramid shape is superior. You know, those trees are going to stand up. Think of southern magnolia, how well they do. You know, there's a lot of trees that really come to mind, that how well they do. Eastern red cedar, they tend to stand up. They do really well.
Right.
Leyland cypress root systems do not go very deep. They tend to be pretty lazy. And so especially in environments where they're irrigated, they're watered regularly, roots don't have to go anywhere. They just kind of stay there. They're not spreading out. They're not going anywhere. And so whenever, you know, they may look fine, they're green, they're healthy, and the wind blows, and big sail, whole thing comes over. So that's something we haven't seen a lot of lately, but, you know, we certainly do when we have a lot of wind. And I expect when we do get a big storm, we're going to see a lot of the leylands coming over. Biggest problem that we see are the fungal diseases.
Right.
Ceridium canker, botrytis canker, you got the top for a root rot, a number of things that just, and they're pretty much incurable.
You could
slow them down, but, you know, once they're there, it's tough. And so pretty tough. And so the really bad thing is most people plant Leland cypress as a screen. And so then they have this big homogenous screen all the way across the back of their lot or whatever it is. It's blocking out the neighbor or the railroad or the warehouse or, you know, whatever it is. And then you start losing them. Oh, boy, now you can see through them.
All right.
Oh, that's a problem. And so, you know, it's not a good plant for that. They typically do pretty well at first, grow really quickly, and then they produce this great screen. You forget whatever's back there, and then they start fading. They start falling apart. They typically do worse in situations where there are multiple trees together, especially if there's a fence or something
right.
that's preventing airflow through them. So if you've got one tree out in the middle of the yard, you know, so you had a living Christmas tree or something you planted out in the yard, chances are it'll probably be okay. It's got air all the way around it. You know, when you got them all together, especially up against a wall or a fence, and you just don't get that air moving through there. And it just creates problems.
And then, if you've got a specimen out in the middle of the yard, and we get a hurricane,
it's gone
from that perspective
for sure. Yeah.
So this is great, and I am intruding on your Sunday morning. Can you let us take a break and come back and ask a couple of more questions?
Sure thing. Let's do it.
All right, that sounds good. Good to hear from you this morning, Charlie. Is it about time for a break? All right.
Radio station contests are everywhere, but some are better than others. Now through Tuesday, register at Old Time Feed on Greeno Road in Fairhope. You could win a $50 qualifying prize, plus a 1 in 5 chance of winning the grand prize, including Adirondack chairs and table from Old Time Feed, as well as an inshore fishing charter from Gray Gulf Charters, chicken tenders for you and your friends from Goldfingers, a 2-week 4-seat cart rental from the Cart Doctor, a Reactor Valkyrie stainless steel men's watch from the Carrot Patch, and a Liberty Fat Boy Junior Safe from Mike Ward's Liberty Safes. A grand prize showcase valued at nearly $5,500. Details at FMTalk1065.com and our Facebook. Local business, local winners from your local hometown radio station. Register now through Tuesday at Old Time Feed on Greeno Road in Fairhope in the Summer Better Than Others contest from FM Talk 106.5.
As a leader in business, the decisions you make affect every aspect of the company you guide. That's why you need a financial partner who will create every opportunity for growth, expansion, and acquisition. BBVA Compass understands your financial priorities, addressing your cash flow needs, anticipating future challenges, and we deliver local personal service backed by our global brand. Commercial banking from BBVA Compass, creating opportunities. For more information, visit bbvacompass.com/commercial. BBVA Compass is a trade name of Compass Bank, member FDIC.
Hello, this is Emily Tidwell, and I'm here to talk to you about my dad's business, Forklift Hunter. If you own a forklift or a fleet of forklifts and you're not doing business with Forklift Hunter, you're probably flushing money down the big dealer toilet. Sorry, Dad said that. Forklift Hunter offers service, parts, and sales. As always, the labor rates and parts prices are a lot less than the dealers, and you'll never see a trip charge, fuel surcharge, or hazmat fee. Give him a call and compare at 479-2270 or visit ForkliftHunter.com. Forklift Hunter will save you money.
This is FM Talk 106.5. Like what you're hearing? Well, there are thousands of other Gulf Coast listeners who like it too. Why not put us to work to make those local residents your customers? FM Talk 106.5 will reach them efficiently and effectively. This is Celeste Holland. Together, we can design an advertising campaign that will increase your business, even in this rough economy. Give me a call at 251-344-1065, extension 16, and let's discuss how FM Talk 106.5 will help boost your business.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. We got a good opportunity to talk to Chris Francis here this morning. Chris is one of the folks that I really trust when it comes to trees. Chris Francis Tree Care, you know, I will have to acknowledge he advertises with us. But if he didn't advertise with us, I would still recommend him because I really enjoy talking to him, and he's really the best. He's really he really knows what he's doing with trees, and it's always good to talk to him. We always discuss trees and what's the best way to treat them. I value his opinion. We're talking a little bit about how to stake trees. We kind of got that out of the way. Then I had to feel him out to see if he had his thoughts about Leland Cypress were the same as mine. And as it turns out, they are. He just gave you a whole list of reasons not to plant a Leland Cypress. But now the question is, Chris, if we can really quickly, what are some good substitutes for Leland Cypress?
Well, I should throw out while I got it on the tip of my tongue here. You know, obviously it's better not to plant them, but if you already have them,
yeah,
then you know we should definitely discuss you know how to kind of keep some of these right. problems from coming about. And so you know if you want to do that real quick and get that out of the way,
yeah, let's do that. I mean, so I'm curious. I'm not sure what to tell folks other than not to fertilize them heavily, which would be
not to overwater. So you know, watering's fine, and much like most plants we see in the landscape. You know, typically overwatered. Somebody turns on the irrigation system, sets it up for once a day, every day, and just walks away.
Be the worst possible situation.
That's dangerous.
So
we want the environment to be able to absorb water,
right?
Dry out, you know,
right.
And then roots go searching for moisture, and then water again. And so, you know, we don't want things to die in the process. We want the soil to be able to dry out enough so that it's not just maintaining moisture the entire time, its whole life.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. Not watering the trunks and the leaves. And so you think, well, hell, it rains. You know, the tree's going to get wet. Well, of course it does. You know, it's going to get wet. But we don't need to have sprinklers actually watering the trunk or watering the leaves of the tree. So that's really going to breed fungal problems there. So, you know, if that can be set up, you know, if you have a sprinkler that can be adjusted or moved, or maybe plants have grown and it's not really doing what it needs to, kind of move it out. For the most part, my recommendation on irrigation systems is going to be turn them off. You know, if you've got brand new plants and you've got to establish them, that's one thing. But most plants that are already established, they just don't need that supplemental irrigation. So turn that off. You have it as a reserve. You know, if you get in a drought, you can hit the button. It waters. But, you know, just there's no sense in watering every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the rest of its life.
Right.
So watering is huge. Watering's big. If they are in a row, which they typically are, you want to get some airflow in there. And so how you would do that is by pruning. And that's not by some, you know, topping, you know, cutting the whole top off, or by overlifting or raising the whole bottom up, especially if you're trying to make a screen. You don't want to, you know, cut the whole bottom out and then you're looking right through the bottom. But if you can selectively prune some branches out of there, and that's where it gets really tricky, because somebody may really know what they're doing and then somebody may really not. And so you can really mess a plant up. It's not like a haircut where you cut it and you know, you mess up and you just give it time and it'll grow back.
You know, and if you tip cut, you're actually making things worse. If you just strictly shear, you're actually going to thicken it up and make things worse.
Yeah, so one of two things will happen if you create that heading cut. And so if it's in the underside of the canopy, and if it doesn't get the light, then that limb is just going to die all the way back.
Right.
And so that's not really going to be good for you. If it is out on the outside of the canopy, in the top or the sides to where it's going to get plenty of light, then it'll sprout out. You're going to have a whole lot of new growth, flush of new growth there, you know, which you may see as healthy, you know, say, hey, the plant's responding to my pruning. It's growing out. But typically, if you're pruning something off, it's because you didn't want it there. It's rubbing on your roof, or it's blocking your vision, or whatever it is. So when it's growing back, then that's a problem. But producing a lot of new growth on the outside of the plant really kind of proliferates this problem with airflow, because now air can't get to the middle of the plant. Light can't get to the middle of the plant. Right. And so now you wind up with this kind of pittosporum, where you've got this, you know, all the foliage is on the outside and nothing's in the middle.
Right.
And so one branch breaks on the outside and all you see is dead sticks. You know, it's there's nothing alive in the middle. So airflow is good. If you have any disease, or you even suspect that there are, you'll want to make some you'll want to clean your tools between application. And so there's been a few different ways for that. Rubbing alcohol has proved effective. Bleach has actually proved ineffective.
Really?
And so, yes, yeah, so it used to be said, you know, you take 10% bleach mix.
That's
and spray it on every time, and the research has shown that the bleach is just not effective.
Huh.
So we'll probably avoid that. What has worked really well is Lysol, and that is very easy to apply because it comes in a spray can. It goes in one hand, your pruner's in the other. You prune, you spray. So that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
So that would be something to consider. And remember, you know, we're always really trying to prune back to another branch. Ideally, something that can sustain the growth, so one-third the diameter or larger would be, you know, ideal. So just making some thinning cuts in there. You can always cut more. You can't add it back. And so if there is a fence or something that's in the way that can be moved, or another plant or tree that can move that out of the way and you can allow some airflow in, that's really going to help. I would say ultimately my recommendation with a hedgerow of Leyland cypress is to plant something ahead of it or behind it, knowing that that row is only there temporarily. And so, you know, when it dies, whether it's 3 years from now, 10 years from now, whatever it is, if you really want to screen there, really go ahead and start growing something new, so that when it's out, then we got something else.
That's great advice, Chris. Hey, thanks. We got to take a hard break. It's been great to hear from Chris. Great information. We missed some callers. We'll be back in this next hour. Feel free to give us a call back. Thanks, Chris, for doing that. Had a great time talking about trees and how to deal with them. We'll be back.